We are now just 4 days out from Election Day, and we've been focusing a lot of attention on the presidential race. But there are many key Senate and House races up for grabs on Tuesday as well, and that could have a big impact on what Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is able to accomplish in office. Jessica Taylor is a political reporter for NPR. She joins us now. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with the Senate. Where are we at this point with the Senate? Democrats had been optimistic about their chances to take back control. Is that still looking likely 4 days out?
I would say they're cautiously optimistic, but far less optimistic than even just a few days ago, I think. We're sort of finally seeing this impact of everything that's happened with Hillary between the email new investigation and Obamacare numbers sinking. That's sort of maybe not showing up as much in the presidential race and where it might matter, but in the Senate races and other down ballot races, it is. In some of these races that are just so tight, like New Hampshire, Indiana, Missouri, North Carolina, that could really sort of make a big difference. So I think Republicans, when I've talked to them this week, yesterday especially, I think they sounded the best that they have in several weeks.
But the funny thing is, it seems like there are some Senate races where people thought Democrats had the edge, and now it looks like Republicans are doing better. And in other ones, people thought the Republicans had the edge, and now not everybody is moving in the same direction, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, the map that we thought we were going to have to begin with has completely changed. Florida and Ohio, I think, are sort of firmly in Republicans' hands at this point. And I think where the race is going to be decided is in places like Missouri, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania. And like you said, Missouri and Indiana, I think, were races we didn't think we would be talking about at all. And I think this both has to do with candidates that are there that have made different dynamics. In Missouri, certainly Roy Blunt, the incumbent, he is sort of the embodiment of Washington, a family of lobbyists, and Democrats have really effectively hit him on that. And they have a very good recruit there. And Jason Kander, he's a young military veteran, and he's sort of made this effective case that Washington sort of needs new blood. Sort of the opposite thing is happening in Indiana. Democrats got this race on the map when they convinced former Democratic Senator Evan Bayh, whose name is political gold in the Hoosier state, to get back in. And he was running against, you know, sort of an unknown Congressman Todd Young for the open seat there. He has just run. Bayh has been hit by so many things, to his residency, to how much time he spent in D.C., to his connections with lobbying firms. And, you know, he sort of started out this race with more than a double-digit advantage. That is completely evaporated, and Republicans really feel like they have the momentum there right now.
Well, let's listen to a little bit from the debate there in Indiana with Evan Bayh and Todd Young. And they started talking about that issue, Bayh's lobbyist ties. Here's some from their debate.
Clearly, Congressman Young is getting pretty desperate. It's not true that I was for cap and trade. I'm against cap and trade. It's not true that I have ever been a lobbyist. It's simply not true.
And Evan Bayh casts the deciding vote for Obamacare. We would not have Obamacare, ladies and gentlemen, but for Evan Bayh's vote. With respect to being a lobbyist, okay, he's a partner at a lobbying firm. Maybe they pay him $2 million not to lobby.
Okay, so a little bit of sound there from Indiana. Let's talk about the House. What's going on with the House right now? Is it still in play or not anymore?
I don't think it was ever truly in play. Democrats need 30 seats, which doesn't sound like a lot, but there are less than 40 competitive seats right now. Remember, the House map really sort of shrunk after 2012 redistricting, when Republicans, after 2010 gains, were really able to shore up some of their seats and really reduce the number of competitive seats. So even with a presidential year, which tends to favor Democrats, they really sort of have to run the table. And there are some places that they thought really would be in their column that they're struggling right now. Upstate New York Senate races should be sort of ripe for the picking. These are even districts that President Obama carried. Places like Michigan and Iowa, where they need to do well. But, you know, these are places where Donald Trump necessarily doesn't hurt them. These are sort of wider districts, lower percentage of college-educated voters. Trump isn't necessarily the drag on there that they need them to be to get to the 30. You know, I think that a couple of weeks ago, even when the presidential race was looking better for Clinton, I could have said that maybe Democrats had a possibility of picking up about 20 seats. Right now, I think that could be, you know, 12 to 15 would be a good night for them right now.
Jessica, just a few seconds left, but is there any chance that after this election, whatever happens in the House and the Senate, that gridlock goes away?
I don't think so. When you've had such a polarized election and, you know, Republicans right now, their best message is sort of this check and balance that, OK, you know, even Senate strategists and things, too, they think that, you know, the race has tightened, but they still think that Hillary Clinton is probably going to win. And they are saying, you know, elect a Republican Congress so that we can provide this check and balance on her. I think that ends up with, you know, more scrutiny, more investigations, more sort of roadblocks right. for a President Clinton even before she would get there.
That's Jessica Taylor, a political reporter for NPR, watching the House and the Senate for us. Jessica, thanks.
Thanks so much.